Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of It's About Bravo. I'm Modesto.
I'm Reed.
And I'm Maddie.
And we're back, girls. Is this our third week in a row as a threesome?
A threesome. And also our second time this week, because if you are subscribed to our Patreon, thank you to everybody supporting me, Mo, and Maddie put out an episode this week about Big Brother. So we have been spending lots of time on the mic together this week.
Yeah, I feel like I'm already sick of you guys.
The Big Brother was fun. We also just spent like an hour before this shooting the shit. Anyways, guys, there's so much going on, especially in the world of RHOA. So let's get right into...
That's my opinion!
So this week, news dropped that New York-style reboot, Love B. Scott is the one that dropped this tea. And if you don't know Love B. Scott, she's kind of... our friend Elvis had asked who she was, and I said she's like the Dave Quinn to Atlanta. She's come up in this like the series a bunch of times. Whenever they say, like, you went to the blogs, it's usually Love B. Scott or the Jasmine brand are kind of like... the versions of Dave Quinn or one of the other, like maybe like Gibson or someone that like drops tea on the other Housewife networks or franchises. So it was reported that they're getting a Roni style reboot with everybody gone and kind of a season 14 Roni-esque. That has since been debunked by Bravo, and they're saying no decisions have been made. More tea is coming out that allegedly they're going to do more of a Miami style reboot or a Roni season 5 style reboot where... maybe three women will stay or a friend of some sort, and then all new, like four or five all new cast members or three or four.
Do we think Bravo debunked these rumors right away because people were starting to get death threats? Like Atlanta fans were giving out death threats.
Who is like, sending death threats to Bravo HQ? Y'all need to go touch grass. Go touch grass.
I was going
to
say, like, what is like the protocol for that? Like, are they just DMing and saying, don't... reboot Atlanta.
I'm gonna kill you.
I will kill you.
I bet it was candy.
It was candy the candy yams. It was those candy yams. Maddie
candy
was
in the game.
It was you.
They were
it
like,
Maddie.
Y'all aren't gonna make her miss a bag.
It's just if my girl misses a bag, y'all are gonna get blown up. I will blow. What did Mama Joy say? She said he said he was gonna blow you up.
I don't know. Like, we've talked about it on the podcast. When Annie's been on, you know, I love how she kind of worded it. She doesn't agree with even like just the notion of how they're doing this, like the reboot. Like, I think we've all kind of come to love the Roni reboot in its own way, but you know, none of us were on board to begin with even just the idea of doing it like that. And I think the Miami reboot is just so much better because it's the best of both worlds. Like
it also was 8 years in the making.
Feels familiar with the girls that came before, but it's also fresh enough with the new girls. And, you know, a part of me still kind of wishes that Roni had gone about it that way too.
Yeah.
But with Atlanta, it's like, I don't know. I hate to lose all these girls.
Well, Reed, you said it best in the chat. You said Orange County got lucky because how did Orange County have such horrible seasons back to back to back to back?
And bad ratings.
Bad ratings and not even a glimmer of we're rebooting it. Like, it was never even a rumor that they were going to reboot it. And Atlanta has maybe three bad seasons. Not bad, but just not as entertaining as normal
this
Atlanta.
This season was bad. And then the previous two seasons were not. They were okay.
Boring.
They were just boring-ish. They weren't that bad. Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like the Roni reboot maybe has given Bravo like a new appreciation for reboots, but like it had this been a thing like 3 years ago, I don't think OC would have made it to this season. And it's such a good season, which we'll get into later. But like, that's the thing. Like you gotta like let it cook sometimes. But I get it with Atlanta. It has been cooking for 3 years and it's simmering at best. You know, it's not really giving us what we want. But Mo, I loved your idea. You know, we put out on the social. Keep a few of the key players. Bring Portia back. You know, keep Kenya, Marlo, Sheree around. And then bye-bye, Drew. Bye-bye, Sanya. Bye-bye, Candy. And let's get some brand new bitches in here. A la Monica Garcia on Salt Lake City. Shake some shit up.
Let's shake the table, as Kay Michelle said.
I have to say, I was listening to a podcast this morning, a Bravo podcast, because that's all I do is listen to Bravo and pop culture. And somebody mentioned the one girl wants Candy gone. And the other girl said, the only reason I don't think Candy will leave or be gone is because she has all these little side projects. Like, she has her movies, she has her restaurants. And every single time she has one of those, Bravo gets a cut of what she makes from those. So why is Bravo gonna fire someone that they get a lot of money from? Like, anytime she's doing a project, they get coin from her.
Well, I mean, think about how Luann and Sonia just had a really successful spinoff with Crappy Lake. I think some of their most like marketable Bravo lebs, like Luann, Sonia, Candy, Nene, if she wasn't always in a beef with Bravo, these are women that I think Bravo is like, we're not going to get rid of you. You might not be on Housewives anymore, but we'll find something for you to do. Like, you, to your point, Maddie, they make us, you make us money, you know, but mm-hmm. maybe the show itself just needs fresh blood. But, you know, we talked about this last week. Mary DeMed exists as well in Atlanta. So it's like, we do have another group of dynamic women. I don't even watch Married to Med, so I can only say so much, but I know it's really popular and it's really good. And so, like, they already have another dynamic group of women who are fighting in the Atlanta city limits, you know? So it's like, what?
How many more people are they going to find?
But I guess, like, there's a lot of shows based in LA too on Bravo. So,
the
like,
thing is, like, why even can be more than two shows in Atlanta? There's also, like, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, which is a massive franchise. And it's been a lot of, like, speculation that some of those women would join RHOA. Sorry, I have a tickle in my throat. RHOA. Even so, Ty, the lesbian that Drew is allegedly seeing, which we will get into, is from Love and Hip Hop. She dated one of the girls in Love and Hip Hop and was on the cast for a while. So, like, there's not that big market of, like, women to choose from in Atlanta, I would say, and that haven't already either been seen or in the industry, because Atlanta is a really big industry. It's like a big for like music, movies, TV, like all of the women in Atlanta have somehow been seen. For me, it's like, we're talking about money. So it was reported that Kenya and Candy make over 100K an episode, and the women for the Roni reboot probably got that, everyone combined probably got 100K for that first season. So it's like, would they be saving a ton of money rebooting it and getting new women? And we also have to talk about Portia Williams Gabbadia, who placed third on Stars on Mars, guys. She lost to Tinashe and Adam Rippon.
Oh,
an Olympic medalist and a pussy popping queen. Well, Portia is playing hardball with Bravo. Allegedly, they had a very large dollar amount that she has declined and rebutted with the larger dollar amount. She apparently wants to be the highest paid on the cast. So obviously wants to make over that like 100-something K an episode, which, give that woman every dollar you have. Okay?
I just think that it's crazy that these rumors are starting and we haven't even seen the reunion yet, because from the reunion clips, it looks like it's going to be 10 times better than the season was. And it's
have we even seen this happen before? Like, where these casting rumors are before a reunion has even aired? Like, maybe in Roni 13, but that reunion never aired.
I was going to say, maybe just because the reunion didn't air. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that it's already starting before we're seeing the reunion, especially because, like I said, the reunion looks like it pops off. So
I think it's wild. So the latest rumor is that Candy, Kenya, and Sheree are the only ones up for coming back. And then 3 to 4 new women and possibly Portia if the negotiations work out. Listen, I've said it before. I think Candy, you got to go, mama. I think it's time to just exit stage left, right, back, yeah, front. Your time is up. I think that Kenya, I would obviously love to see Kenya back with Portia. I would love to see Kenya. And I think if Portia comes back, you'll have Marlo and her continue to fight because they're not in a good place. Sheree is just messy boots the house down. So I don't really see her and Portia really hitting it off. I know that they are friendly, but Portia just did an interview with, I think it was like Amazon Live, and they like asked questions. And she said the only one she's close with on the cast are Candy and Drew, which is surprising. And then in Kenya's interviews with Carlos King, she said Portia's like little sister to her now. And then someone asked Portia if she would do an interview with Carlos King. And she said, if scheduling is right, yes, but he has a way of pulling the tea out of the girls. And she doesn't know if she wants that tea pooled yet. I think that these, it's crazy. And someone else in our DM said, what if Bravo is just throwing all this shit out to gauge who fans want back?
Yeah.
So it's like, smart.
Maybe it's a tactic that they're using to see who we want back and who we don't want back. And Bravo, if it's a tactic, I'm telling you right here now, Kenya, Sheree, Marlo, back. Portia, back. Newbies. Kimsey has a friend. Let's do it.
I do think that there could be a debate, though, about, like, Marlo. Because, Mo, you love Marlo. A lot of people don't.
They don't. But Marlo was the only, to me, other than Drew's lesbianism in the last 15 minutes of the episode, yeah. Marlo was kind of the comedic relief. And she didn't really, like, she didn't get as nasty as she usually does. Her storyline was a little more heartfelt this season. Like, she tried to portray a different version of herself. And I think Marlo has such a history with, like, Portia and with Kenya and with Candy. And if you have, like, let's say if the four of them come back, like Kenya, Sheree, Marlo, and Candy, they have such a history. And then adding Portia to that and then just giving us three new women or two new women and a friend is a mini reboot.
I was going to say, at that point, it's not really a reboot, even, though. Like, yeah, it's mostly...
I mean, even maybe demoting her. Like, yeah, I would be demoting Marlo again, but then it'd be so, like, they made such a big deal about her getting her peach on Bravo. Mm-hmm. But, like,
well, I mean, whether you agree or not, Mo, I think a lot of people do blame Marlo for why... Like, the two seasons Marlo's not had a peach have been the worst seasons of Atlanta. And
but
I agree.
The same way of blaming, like, Leah McSweeney for the bad season of OC or New York when it was just the OGs that weren't playing game. Like, Kenya and Candy weren't playing ball.
But Leah was really annoying that season, too.
Yeah, but she was playing when the OGs weren't playing. She was more annoying her last season, like I've said before, because none of the OGs were giving her the light of day.
Yeah.
But they were there
still,
to collect the
check. But also, their, like, demise was Leah, yeah, and like, the demise Kenya, was Marlo.
Kenya can't stand Marlo. So, like, we're not even getting good Kenya because she doesn't even want to be in the same room as Marlo. So I almost feel like if you got rid of Marlo, maybe Kenya and Portia would go back to their old ways of bringing real fun drama. You know? But I'm with you. Like, I like Marlo. Like,
we used
I'm
to giggle
not,
and
like,
laugh. The yeah. fun is gone.
I think Marlo has made these seasons somewhat fun because of her funny commentary. Like, if it didn't,
I just think she's
Marlo,
hilarious.
Worse. Like, I feel bad though for, like, even though I really don't care for Sanya or Drew, and I've been saying for so long, chop them, give them the chop. You know, now that, like, a reboot is very real, I was watching the finale episode kind of, like, sad that this might be my last time seeing Sanya and Drew on my TV screen, because the way their storylines were left with this season ending, it's like
they were the
you
most
want to know what happens next. Like, we know Sanya's pregnant and that she is going to have a healthy pregnancy, God hope. But at the same time, I want to see that next season, even though I don't want her back. I, like, want to see, like, does she have her child and is the family doing well? And then with Drew, I want to see, like, how do you navigate the divorce? Are you a lesbian? And we're not going to see those things.
Yeah, I was going to say it didn't end well. Like, how when Cynthia wrapped up her final season, it was like her wedding and, like, it kind of had a bow on her. So mm-hmm. we were okay with letting her go. And even in a way where I'd be okay with letting Candy go, because we've kind of seen everything from Candy. But, like, those two women, yes, their stories are not done. And so it'll kind of be like, oh, what
it'll
happened?
Feel clunky unless they wrap it up with the reunion.
Yeah. You know what? I just have to bring it kind of back to New York. So my friend Lane is watching New York for the first time. She's on season 12. Mind you, last episode she was on season 9. She just watches it so quick. But she said, she's like, I'm having such a hard time knowing that next season is the last season because I won't ever see, like, these same women on my screen again. And I was like, yeah, it's almost depressing when you go through a binge for the first time, knowing that it's not ending with those same, like, she's watching the new season of New York, so she obviously knows, like, what's gonna happen. But it just, I'm like, yeah, that's a weird way to look at it. And so if somebody, and she's thinking about starting Atlanta soon, so if this happens to Atlanta, she's
like,
gonna be depressed all over again.
But then with, like, New York too, it's more sad or sadder because, like, they really didn't have a ton of cast changes. Like, in those last seasons, it was kind of the same. Like, Carol left, but then the women stayed the same, and then Bethany left, but they stayed the same. Dorinda left, but the rest, you know.
Yeah.
It was mostly, like, that same core. So watching them for so long, I don't know. I think that this is just going to keep unraveling, and we're going to get more tea by the day. Like, the women are posting. Sanya's posted. Kenya's posted. Like, everyone's posting things, and I think that they're really just trying to, like, I feel like it's Bravo kind of being marketing geniuses and just really, like, getting those reunion ratings up and, like, trying to get, like, traction for next season up. And well, if they take a few months and really like take like 6 months, cast women and then figure it out.
How long does a show normally go after a reunion is done? How many weeks or months do they usually take before they film again? Like on average, it's not a long time, right?
Usually it's not. Like some have, it's been, remember before when people were like, pause, because like Salt Lake picked up right away and Beverly Hills picked up right away. But like, I think usually it's a few months, like at least 2 months.
So we talked about this last week. Bravo has a historic amount of housewives like in the tank. Like we don't normally get this many housewife shows on our TV at the same exact time. And like between Salt Lake and now we know that Beverly Hills, so Salt Lake's coming September 4th. Dorinda Dudley tweeted yesterday that Beverly Hills is confirmed November 1st and Potomac is confirmed November 4th. Or maybe I got those mixed up, but they're both coming the same week.
I think, yeah, they're coming the same week. So we're getting three
outsides. And then Dubai's probably coming before those because it's been done before them. And Miami is done. So we're getting there's going to be 5 different housewife shows on Bravo at once this fall into winter, which is a lot. Normally we have like 3 at the most. Like this, guys, this podcast, we're already going 90 minutes just with 3 housewives shows a week to cover. We're going to have to start coming out with 2 episodes a week just to like cover all these different housewife shows because there's so many of them. So
no, literally,
but that, what that means though, is that by the time these are all done, they're going to have like a giant gap where like they don't have anything, you know? So I almost wonder if this Atlanta stuff is strategic because it's like, if they wait longer and do and spend more time casting and deciding what to do, they might level their like programming played out a bit, you know? Cause like
on the plate right now. I don't see Dubai coming anytime soon. I think I see it coming maybe mid season at Beverly Hills. Like I think Potomac and Atlanta or Potomac and Beverly Hills will come next. And then we'll wait till like OC is done and Dubai will probably come in the middle of Beverly Hills so they can pair those two like fashion rich together.
Yeah.
And then maybe we'll see Miami closer to like, it'll probably take a minute for Miami, I would say.
Okay. Cause I was thinking like Potomac was the most recent one to finish filming. So why would it air before ones that finished filming before it? You know,
I think that's what I was saying. It's like scheduling blocking. So like Potomac and Atlanta usually share a lot of the same viewers and they share the same. Yeah. Beverly Hills and OC, they share the same night. So too, like Potomac will probably come on Sundays and take Atlanta spot. And then
Jersey will probably end up taking Salt Lake spot next winter, right? Like Salt Lake will eventually end and Jersey will premiere on Tuesday nights like it normally does. So yeah, it's like, but I mean, even right now I feel bad for Roni because it comes on at 8. And it kind of, I feel like they lose view, like 7 to 8 central time seems to be prime. And then like people start to drop off at 8 p.m. And I feel bad, like Roni coming at 8 after Atlanta, it's like losing viewers. And they're going to have like Miami's probably going to be an 8 o'clock show if it comes too soon, you know, like they're going to have, they don't have enough room in their schedule for all these shows.
Listen, we'll figure it out. I want to talk about Beverly Hills or Bravo, figure it out. I want to talk about Beverly Hills quickly. Erica Jane went on 2 Teas in a Pod and talked about next season and basically talked about the shifting alliances, talked about Dorit and PK's marriage troubles and how that will be on next season, as well as Kyle's and Mauricio's. She talked about her relationship with Sutton and Crystal and how the new girl kind of lets Crystal have it on their trip in Spain. And she said the new girl comes in like 3/4 of the way into the season. So you're going to have like that main cast in last season, sans Rena and Diana and Kathy. And then we'll see the new girl come in. She had a lot of guest stars coming. She said this before that Denise really and her get into it. She said they get into it at Kyle's weed dinner. And she was like, I was high as fuck. And this woman was yapping on about me. And I was like, all I could do was laugh. So I was like, I have Denise, please. Like literally, please. She said Denise brings up the bots and Garcelle's son and all these things and how like Erica's the one that did it and like Rena and all that stuff. I'm excited for Beverly Hills. This has been kind of like the first leak I feel like that we've had about what the season's going to be about.
Yeah. And we were worried because there were so many cameos happening. Like I think Camille comes back and now Denise is coming back. And so we're like, why are they growing? Yeah.
Or like, Kim Richards. The wig's always on the mind.
But because of them throwing in all these like heavy hitters, we're like, oh no, are they having a lackluster season because of it? But it has been a while since Beverly Hills has been on, so I am excited. We're not going to get to see any of Erica's residency, are we? Because that just started.
Yeah, I think it'll end with that. So the finale party is the kickoff to her residency, which she does like a mini show at like the stadium that they booked out.
Tamara was there, and who else was there the other night?
Who?
You didn't see that?
Oh, Teddy
Judge and somebody else went and saw Erica's show.
They went to Vegas and saw her?
I didn't realize that, like, I guess it makes sense that these housewives all probably are friends.
Yeah,
I didn't realize Tamara was like cool with all these different people.
Well, Teddy and Tamara went, Teddy and Erica have been cool since they, like, since all that. Remember when the Dorit's robbery happened, they were, like, the first that, like, stormed into, or, you know.
You see also, is this fake news, or do we just not know enough yet to discuss it? Apparently, there's a new scandal involving Erica Jane.
Yes, apparently it's credit card fraud with a costume designer for this new tour.
Yes, allegedly. I heard that.
Allegedly.
Too.
She's getting sued, which is, I mean, I think she's like, she's been visiting the victims.
I love Erica in the hot seat. So this is good.
I love it too. I feel like she thrives the most. Also, Ozempic body down. She looks so good on the clips from the tour. Like, this woman is 50 something years old, popping the absolute biggest pussy you could ever think of. Like, she really is letting the girls have it.
She said,
I have something mean to say.
No, what?
Yes, her body looks good.
I know what you're going to say, because I also agree.
She's just an old lady up there.
The skin is hanging.
Yeah, it's like, yes, like, you can get all the surgeries and you can lose all the weight, but, like, there's nothing changing the fact that you're 50 years old up there. And, like, I see it. Like, I see that you're a 50-year-old. And it's kind of, like, it's kind of weird. Not that 50-year-olds can't perform. Because
Madonna.
They can't, but, like, yeah, but, like, but doing what she's doing, I'm like, okay, girl.
So, Erica getting skinny on Ozempic and cashing out all these people with credit card fraud. It really just, you know, she said, on a diet, but my pocket's eating cheesecake, you know?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Reed.
I had to quote
all right, guys. Listen, I love a Nikki reference. Nikki's coming back. Do we have anything else? Maddie is.
Yes, I was gonna say we need to talk about the Carl and Lindsay of it all.
Oh yeah, we do.
Because
so, let them have it. Our resident summer house mic person.
Before me and Mo and Reed got on today, Mo was texting him like, "Okay, so what are we gonna talk about?" And then he goes, "The Carl and Lindsay ending the engagement rumors," and I'm like, "That's fake news." I saw one account post about it, and then everyone else is just latching onto that one post. They're saying like rumors, and so I was like, we're not going to talk about it, it's fake news. But as we got on here, there are more and more confirmations from like sources that like their engagement is over. Something happened at like a party, and like that was like the final straw in the engagement. So I don't know, we still don't know, allegedly, but there are rumors that Carl and Lindsay's engagement is off, which I totally believe, because I don't think that they were really like a true couple. And I think this is their way of having a Sandoval moment.
Yeah, like making drama for the season. I don't know how. Also, I heard from very reliable sources last summer that Carl was not as sober as he says he is.
I remember you saying that. I don't want to believe that.
It was like really, really reliable people that were in the industry that like had been to a few like launch parties of things this summer in New York that he was at, and they were like kind of not really even hiding it too, and it was wild. Like, there was group chats blowing up about it, and it kind of, I thought it was going to be talked about this season of Summer House, and it wasn't. So I was like, listen, if I'm wrong, I'm also a sober king here, so not here to destroy anyone's sobriety. But I think that Lindsay like not drinking, then drinking, that whole thing seemed weird. Like, their whole engagement was weird. It was so for the camera. Mm-hmm. Lindsay and Danielle being best friends again could lead to a big why they're best friends again because of maybe the breakup. I don't know. It'd be really good to watch.
It'd be great to watch, and I need something exciting because last season of Summer House was kind of blah, and it's my show, so.
But it does seem like the girls are rallying with Lindsay, like even like Paige and Amanda, it seems like everybody's kind of friendly again. So unless Carl did something.
I was listening to Paige on the Vile Files this week, Nick Vial's podcast, just because if Paige is on something, I'm going to listen. And one of the, whoever he hosted with, I don't know if it's his girlfriend, I don't know. She was asking Paige questions about this last season. And Paige kind of said, like, we are probably one of the closest cast on Bravo. She's like, we have a Bravo group chat going constantly. She was like, she's like, I did not find it shocking that Danielle and Lindsay got drinks after the reunion. Like, everyone thought that was so shocking. And she's like, we're friends at the end of this. Like, we know what makes good TV. She's like, not that any of this is fake, but we know when we have to say stuff on camera, we know when we have to bring it. But at the end of the day, like, we're always going to be friends with each other. And so maybe I think we're just seeing more of that this season. I'm hoping that we do see all the girls get closer, because last season it was hard to watch them all just have the same stupid fight every single weekend. But yeah, who knows? Maybe by like the time this episode comes out, we'll have a confirmation from Lindsay or Carl. That would be great.
I mean, Queens of Bravo just posted it, and they're like the TMZ of fucking Bravo. But I don't know how many fucking people they have working on that goddamn network, because they post every goddamn second.
How do they know everything? I'm like,
everything. They're like Gretchen fucking Wieners. Like, their hair's full of goddamn secrets. I can't. I'm like, how are you guys like so in the know? They post things before like they even come out. Wild. Honestly, it makes me more excited for this season of Summer House.
Same.
Ugh. No comment.
Guys, let's get into no comment from Reed. Anyways, something that Reed, I'm sure Reed has so many comments about. Let's get into the Real Housewives of New York City.
Huge house with like our closest cousins. Actually, if you had stuck around at my event, you would have seen the speech from our cousin, who we're very close.
There were so many people giving speeches at your event. I couldn't hear a thing, to be honest with you.
You left and you didn't say goodbye.
I was hungry. There's like no.
That's not a reason to leave somebody's event and not say goodbye. I think it's incredibly rude, and I think you have bad manners.
I don't care. So I tried to say
everybody
goodbye,
else waited. Everyone
you literally
else said
were
bye.
Taking forever.
No,
to
it wasn't. They
clothes.
All waited. Nobody else cared.
I was hungry.
I mean,
everybody
it's
knows
just
how
not
I get
nice.
When I'm hungry.
It's bad
I
manners.
Go from 0 to 100 when I'm hungry. So
I know.
Before I would go off
there was
on
tons
anyone,
of food. And
no, there wasn't.
Yes, there was. And every single person after the event
I
said the food
eat
was incredible.
Meat. There was like piggies in a blanket. There
so
were like
then
things
have a
that I could not eat. Sorry if that
you don't even
you.
Care. You don't even think it's rude.
I don't care.
I'm getting so annoyed with the size hungry excuse. Like, maybe you should get that checked out. It seems like you have, like, a worm in your... Like, there's something wrong.
Guys, Sai's still complaining.
Oh, my God.
We're six episodes in, and the bitch hasn't shut up. I have literally never... Reed made a meme that was like, don't complain. Or him, don't complain.
You better not be complaining when you get here.
Yeah, you better not be complaining when you get here. Then it's Sai walking in. My God, today, that woman, just like, what the fuck? Also, I was saying, like, I was texting my friend Sam about this, and she was like, first, like, a fashion influencer. I haven't really been gagged by any of her looks. And I'm like, they're not bad looks. Not in any way, shape, or form bad. They're just like, okay. Like, that look, the all white one, I was like, we got too much going on there, mamas. Like, New York sleek. Like, Erin, to me, is so much chicer. Erin is just like... I was obsessed with that little bralette with the shirt and the jacket. Like, easy. I live.
I was going to say, Sai dress is good for, like, a housewife, but not for a fashion girly. Like, if
not
she
when
was
that's,
in a
like,
fashion,
her whole personality.
Yeah, if she wasn't a fashion girly, I wouldn't even think anything of it. I think, wow, she looks great. But now that knowing that, like, she's in fashion, I'm just like, it's not doing it for me. And, girl, can you eat a meal before you leave your house? Like, if you're going to complain about every single thing there is for food, pack a granola bar.
And, like
let's be proactive.
It's New York City. Like, when I lived there, I would just grab something on the way to where I was going.
Literally. But the thing is, like, I mean, she, like, said she doesn't eat meat, so that was why she's been complaining about Erin's party and all this stuff. But, like, if you know that, just, like, eat before.
I know. I'm really sick and tired of, like, vegans thinking that we need to, like, cater to them. Like,
I feel like she might be pescatarian because she went to Nobu, so maybe it was like
you are literally.
Also, I will say I do
not eat meat, so you should figure your own shit out.
I was gonna say I have a few friends that are either like vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, pescatarian, and they one never complain. Like, my friend Erin doesn't eat meat, she's a vegetarian, and she'll never like say, like, I'll offer her to come over for dinner and even forget. And she's like, oh, no worries, I'll eat this or I'll do this. Like, most people, they know because they're coming in with a different whatever that they are going to have to accommodate for themselves. And they do. And they don't make it a big deal. So, Sai, shut the fuck up.
But if you're having a big party like that, Erin, like maybe have one pescatarian option. She probably did. And Sai's just a fucking annoying ass person who complains about everything. If she, I don't know if she found it like, this is going to be my niche, my shtick. Yeah. Like, if I'm going to make the food thing and it's going to be so funny and it's like, mamas, it's not landing. It's not landing. I will say Uba's presence has been missed the last two episodes.
Yeah. I'm like, girl, get this COVID out of your system. Yeah. Like, get
it out. Seriously. And I mean, when's their trip? It has to be soon, right? The next two episodes, maybe?
I can't even remember what the preview of next week is.
The preview is just the mid-season trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why I'm off. So I don't know.
I would love for their trip to be super soon. Uba just did an interview with Entertainment Weekly and talking about the trip. And she was like, I absolutely lost my shit. She was like, I would not shut up for 9 hours. She was like, Erin brought out the devil in me. And she's like, I don't fuck around. She's like, I'm like a butter knife. Like, I am like sweet, but I'll still like do the job when I'm like needed. I'm excited for that. Let's get into, it was a little bit, it wasn't like fillery, but it was a lot of personal relationships, like more growing into their personal storylines. So we start off with Jenna and the eyelash line, which now makes sense with her tagline, but it took us 8 episodes to get into that. So I'm like, oh, we didn't know that like what you were selling or hawking was an eyelash line. So now your tagline kind of makes sense.
Yes. I was going to say the same thing. Now her tagline does make sense with that. But
we could have mentioned it in the first step, like, hey, I'm launching this line, and then had the thing later.
Well, that's like true for so many Housewives taglines. Like, I know we're not talking about OC yet, but I was just paying extra attention to the OC taglines last night. And like so many of them to me don't make any sense.
Well, Emily's, the first time it made sense was last week where she finally was like, there's going to be tacos at Shannon's and I'm not going and I love tacos. And I'm like, is this really how you got your tagline about tacos?
I mean, she asked for them to go to Taco Bell in like the first or second episode. So I thought that's what that was referring to, but that makes total sense. And then like Gina's, what does she mean? The difference between my past and my future is apples and oranges. Did she used to live in New York?
Yeah, she's from New York.
Yeah,
that's what she's meaning.
She's like born and raised.
So maybe that's my own fault for just not knowing the history.
But yeah, that's just bad journalism, baby.
But
that's
there
not
are
Gina's
so
fault.
Many taglines across the Housewives franchises that like, just yeah, it's just like it doesn't make any sense until you get to that episode. So I don't know.
Anyways, well, we learned that the genitalia nickname thing, that Jenna's name is actually Jenna genitalia. Judith is such a bad name. I understand why she went with Judith. Also, in that scene, like, Sai is so condescending the way that she speaks. Like, even to the girl when she was like, yeah, honey. Like, talking to the girls who were, like, auditioning for the modeling for the eyelash thing. Like, and meeting her in person, that's her. That is her to a T.
Can we talk about her weaponizing Jenna's, like, helpful, like, tactic to help the girls, like, disbar a little bit about her name being Judith, and then Sai using it as kind of a weapon in the group. I'm just like, girl, shut the fuck up. Like, she's literally was bearing her soul because she was trying to help somebody, and now you're gonna like kind of rub it in her face.
You could see in Jenna's face though that she was like, this is an asshole move. Like, I confided in you and I'm not super open. And like, we talked about like my girlfriend and my breakup and like I told you something personal and now you're like sharing it to the group. And like the way that Sai kept going with the story, like told every fucking detail.
Every detail. And Jessel, the disgust on her face, you would think that Jenna's real name was like Hitler. Seriously, like I've never seen a reaction like that. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Judith.
Yeah, Jessel. See, that's the thing. The difference between Jessel and Sai, they're both kind of like condescending and complain. But Jessel's, I'm coming around to it. I think it's funny. Whereas Sai
doesn't take herself serious.
I'm like, Sai, can you just like pipe down?
The way that Jessel walked into that party, to Brynn's wreath making party, and with the worst outfit I've ever fucking seen, and she thought that outfit was the fucking tits. She was like, you guys like my outfit? Like, ooh, so holiday, like print on top of print, that ugly fucking dress, which I've sold that dress at my store. I hate it. She's a very big shopper at my store, but like she really came in like she thought she was serving absolute cunt. And she was like, Bran. And it was so ill-fitting. Like, mama. And that is, okay, that brand is a resort brand. Like, it's literally, like, we don't have that brand right now because it's over. Resort season's over. Like, we only have that brand in spring resort season or throughout the summer. Like, it is truly a swimsuit, like, cover-up, like, type of vacation brand. She wore that shit in the dead of motherfucking winter. Obscene. Also, her hating Hudson Yards, where her husband was like, this is great. And she was like, this part of New York is great? Like, Hudson Yards truly is trash. So I get her. I hate being there. I was just there. It's funny because I watched that episode later and I had to go there to pick up my Aritzia order. So I was there like earlier in the day and I hadn't been there in years. I told my boyfriend, I was like, I truly have not been to this part of town in years. And now I know why. I also got food poisoning from one of their fucking food bars. So both of us were shitting for 2 days. So I was like,
okay, Jessel, well,
you're on the nose. Well, I also need to stop eating at open air food bars.
I was going to say, have we talked about on this podcast the rumor, and I don't know if it's a rumor or a known fact, that like Jessel was originally like supposed to be for Real Housewives of Dallas.
Jessel and Lizzie were cast for Real Housewives of Dallas for the reboot. And
then when their season dropped off, they got moved to New York. And maybe that's why Jessel is so unaware of everything in New York, like Hudson Yards and like Tribeca being up and coming. It's because maybe she's actually not a New Yorker. Like, she's just here for the show.
And their apartment's rented, which, I mean, it makes sense. That stunning apartment in Chelsea, unless you're like a bajillionaire, Bethany Frankel, you wouldn't like pay for that outright. And also her husband's business is still in Dallas. So you can tell why he's like, I don't want to fucking send these kids to this school. What if you don't get picked up next season? And then we're stuck here with a $60,000 a year for per kid tuition.
Well, they'll probably get picked up again, but maybe it's a little too soon, but you know me, I loved a little casting prediction. Do we think every girl will return?
Yes, Reed. Every girl will return. And
they'll add like one chaotic girl.
Oh yeah. They'll add somebody for sure.
They need like the way that Monica Garcia is to this new season of Salt Lake.
Reed is foaming at the mouth for Monica Garcia.
Like, what if she flops? Like, we saw one clip. Like, bitch.
One clip. I didn't even see the clip because I don't want spoilers.
Maddie, you said you didn't watch it. I didn't watch it either. He's here to stay, you guys. Like,
remember when you guys thought that about what's her name last season on Salt Lake? You're like, oh, she's eating.
Who?
Who was it? Was it
Angie
Salt Lake or was
Age?
Oh, Dana.
Dana. It was Dana. She had that little like comment in the trailer, and everyone's like, and I can't wait for Dana.
Well, they didn't even show that in the season.
They cut that bitch's like, line.
I'm just saying.
Oh, I will say I didn't watch the clip, but I saw a screen grab of Monica's confessional and bringing it on the bring.
I think she's gonna be really fucking funny. And
I was going to say on the casting rumor or the casting for Roni, I think if they do add someone a little crazy, I think it needs to be more in Jenna's age group. Because I was thinking about it the other day. She's 55, which I'm not age shaming at all, even though I did just age shame Erica Jane. That's different.
I'm not here to age shame, but that old bitch popping her pussy out in Vegas sucked.
But that, yeah, she's old. But Jenna just needs someone else in her field because she's hanging out with all the, like, Bryn is how old? 36? Like, they're almost 20 years different. So maybe if they bring someone kooky and they can bring it in Jenna's age. But as of now, I do think everyone's coming back. Jessel
I think we know the perfect casting choice in Jenna's age group. Luann Dos Epps.
Oh my God. No.
Could you imagine? I'd die.
Oh my God. She would be so funny with that cast. But I wanted to talk about Jessel's, like, heartwarming moment with her mother this episode. And I think that's what makes a great housewife is that she's so chaotic and so unaware, but she has these moments that ground her and like she's a human being and you kind of get to see that. Her talking with her mother, and I just can't even imagine going through IVF. My mom is my best friend. Like, I tell my mom everything. Sometimes I tell her a little bit too much. I can't imagine like hiding that secret from her because you're afraid that she's going to disapprove. And IVF is like crazy on your hormones and on your body. Wow. And not being able to like share that with like someone who you're the closest to, like, oh, that's so sad. But wow, her mother just really stepped up and
totally stepped up and was like, I wish I was there to help you along the way and all these things. And like, I teared up a little bit too. I was like, oh, it definitely humanizes Jessel. Like, much like we said, her husband humanizes her. So does that. And I think that she truly has the recipe of a perfect housewife. Delusional, in on the joke, completely delusional with that outfit that I'm going to go back to that she thought was great. And then with her mother thing, like, it's just she has all the layers of a great housewife. And I can see why she was cast on the Dallas reboot. But it's wild to think that her and Lizzie were cast and then both moved. Lizzie, I think, lived here part time. But for her to move completely to New York and then all of this stuff happened, I think that makes her even more perfect. And I wonder if they'll get into that at the fucking reunion. Let's get into Aaron and the Brynn of it all. Oh, first, I want to get into Brynn and Gideon. Brynn, mama, what are you doing? That man loves you. He looks at her with stars in his eyes.
He's perfect. He's perfect.
Zach was
that's
the one
like, I'm not even a Swiftie. Like, and that had me being like, you got that day. Dream. Look in your eyes. Never go out of sight. That is literally that
in the
song
car with her like big coat on. I was like, oh my god, this is like literally It's a Love Story. Baby, please say yes.
How has she been engaged 3 times? How does that happen? How do you get that close to saying I do to 3 different people?
She did say that she is afraid to say no. And when Gideon proposed, she was dating somebody else. That's crazy.
I'm like, what? Like, how does
I
that
need
even
to know more?
Because here's my thing.
When she was like, what you don't want to do is tell your current boyfriend that you just got engaged to someone. That's Cam.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I have been in that situation sort of where I was talking to someone and I really liked them, but they were fresh off a breakup. And they basically told me like 2 weeks into talking, hey, I'm going to go back to them. Like,
hey,
that
happened to me recently, like, too.
Yes, it happened to Maddie. That's the worst fucking feeling. So I wonder how long she had really been dating this guy if she was like still willing to say yes to the other guy. But like, and listen, Brynn, you're my mom, you're my sister, you're my aunt. You react to our,
as Oprah said, she's the mother I never had. She's the sister I'll always love.
She responds to our stuff. She's in our DMs on Instagram. So like, I want this to like, Brynn, we love you. I'm not shading you. We've talked on this podcast though about like how much of Brynn is the real Brynn on this show. Is she overperforming? Is it like, what is the truth? And so when she tells me she's been engaged 3 times, my initial reaction is, you lying. Like, this is for the cameras. This is like fun. This is a good thing to say on TV, but like, how can someone truly be engaged 3 times?
Well, I mean, Daniel Saab looks like a foot and was engaged 19 times. So someone as hot as Brynn engaged 3 times in 36
years. But Daniel Staub,
not shocking to me.
But Daniel Staub is the kind of person who would be engaged 19 times. Brynn, despite everything, seems like she's got a decent head on her shoulders, you know?
But so she said in that scene especially, she was like, now's the first time that I'm like seeing myself settling down and freezing my eggs. And she was like, she was walking down 57th Street, which is where my store is located. And I'm like, girl, where were you walking? And she saw the wedding ring or the engagement ring and like looked at herself in one of the store like glass windows and was like, is this the life I want? Like, what is going on? It's that like thing where it's like, this probably happened in her early 30s and she was like, oh, it's way too soon. I don't want to be tied down. I don't want kids. Like, I'm a New Yorker. Like, I still want to like run around and like be hot girl. But this man literally loves her. You can tell in that man's eyes. Like, Zach in our group chat said, it's like he looks like a young Hugh Grant. It's like literally like a rom-com waiting to happen. Like, that entire scene. Brynn, girl, get that man back. Get Gideon back.
I wonder, like, why she said, like, she just felt she didn't want to be someone's wife, and that's kind of what scared her out of the engagement. But, like, what's going on now? Because
yeah,
he loves you, girl.
Loves you down. And if he has the money to spend on a car like that, like, he got coin, mama. Coin, a ring. He still has the ring. Like, girl, what are you doing? I mean, that is clearly the love of your life. I've never seen more chemistry in two people in my life. Let's get into her flirting with Aaron's husband at the party, and then Aaron's husband recanting the story, which clearly they had already talked about it, but they were like, let's do it again for camera. Also, there's that scene where her son, why was he wearing a coat? When she was like, one of the kids is crying and he was like, ignore him. And she's like, I'm not going to ignore him. And she goes and gets the kid when they're talking about Brynn and the flirting, and he was wearing a full Moncler coat, the child. I was like, where is he coming from?
She doesn't have the heat on. She's trying to save money.
Clearly, I was like, what's going on here? But the way that Aaron like ran, she came into that party hot, that wreath making party, ready to fight.
They literally called her something when she walked. Bryn said, oh, here comes when she walked in the door. Like, I forget what it was.
Scrooge or like it was something like that.
Something along those lines of like, or Darth Vader or like something.
Yeah,
like,
it was Darth Vader.
Yeah. And that was her energy. And I get Bryn did cross a line. But at the same time, like her husband was laughing. It was like meant to be like off the cuff funny. She took it a little bit too far. But Aaron was not having it.
The shady callback when they're like, oh, we didn't say divorce. I didn't say divorce. And Jess was like, she didn't say divorce. Cut to production. Divorce. I wish that Erin would have stood in her ground. Because, like, honestly, Bryn was out of line. And Erin had every right to eat her the fuck up. But, like, she was kind of half-assed doing it. And it's like, girl, you should have really let her have it.
Well, I think Erin knows that this fight was for the cameras. Because if it were me, I would have understood that Bryn is literally joking with my husband. Literally,
but also,
just
does this go back to the Lizzie stuff? Is she still mad about Erin this time in filming when, because her closest friend was left the show because of Bryn?
I think these housewives know what's expected of them on camera. And if they found out their castmate joked about divorce with their husband, you're supposed to be mad about it. Like, that is what I think is going on here. I'm not saying that Erin is at fault. I'm just saying that, like, if they weren't on Housewives, Erin would not have been upset with Bryn for this. But if they weren't on Housewives, they probably wouldn't even know each other and Bryn wouldn't even be at her anniversary party. So,
well, exactly.
This is true. Very embarrassing to run out of that party, not a single soul follow you.
Not even one got up out of their chair. Like, even
not even one moved their chair.
Step, just say, making their wreaths.
Continue also to the wreaths. Sai's wreath was stunning.
So good. I thought, I was like, wow, hers is so good.
Compared to the other ones, horrible. We get that moment with them talking about Jenna's product placement, which is very Bethany Frankel Skinny Girl-esque, where they were all kind of complaining about how everything was a Jenna X whatever collab. And I was like, okay, girls.
Oh, that pissed me the fuck off. First of all housewives do this. It's just like, why wouldn't you? It's free marketing and Bravo seems to be fine with it. But B, if I have all these businesses and this free merch that I can give my friends for free, they better be fucking saying thank you. It's not like it has strings attached. It's just that Jenna has all this extra fucking inventory. Why would she not put together cute baskets or gift bags for her friends? And for Sai, queen complainer over here, to immediately be like, I don't know, these gifts are just rubbing me the wrong way. Bitch, give me your bag. Give it to
First
me.
First of all,
I'll use the skincare or whatever the fuck.
And let's call
I'll use
a spade.
It all.
Let's call a spade a spade. Sai is an influencer. It is literally your job to take products that get sent to you for free and post them on Instagram. Like, Jenna is just giving, like, you know the game. Jenna's not asking you to post on Instagram, which you probably like it, yes, but she has so much extra product. I just never get that. Like, I've always said I wanted a friend who's an influencer because I want all their free shit. Because, like, Jenna probably has so much stuff in her house now that's like all of her collabs. Like, I want the Majori collab. The Majori.
Yeah,
and
the jewelry.
Jenna.
That I want that too. I will say my boyfriend does influencing for the company that we work for, and the amount of bags of free, like, I'm talking, like, the other day he was like, hey, do I accept this, like, offer to do a video for this $500 serum? And I was like, yeah. He literally came home with two massive containers of this $500 serum. Like, all of our skincare is free. He gets free shoes, all of these things. And I'm like, oh my God, not me being like the perks of an influencer has been. Also, breaking news, guys. I just want to say, confirmed by Entertainment Weekly, Carl and Lindsay have called off their engagement.
What?
The news has just hit. We're breaking news here on Bravo. Even though by the time this episode airs, you'll already hear it.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. Wild.
Page Six confirms too.
Yeah, it says ET got the exclusive. So it's happening, guys. Give it to us now.
I need Andy and a camera.
I need Andy and a camera now. Reed could not care less.
Wow. Well, it's going into the last weekend because their last weekend is Labor Day weekend. So they're leaving to the Hamptons like tonight/tomorrow.
Oh my God. Do you think it happened this week?
Yeah. Oh my God. I can't wait. And it sounds so bad. I'm like,
divorce.
Love breaking up.
It's literally that SpongeBob meme. What did they say? It's exactly that's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah,
that's what we wanted all along. Like someone like literally like crying as their relationship,
someone's life being ruined. It's great for television. We got anything else on New York, y'all?
Nope.
Let's get into the Real Housewives of Orange County.
That I said CPS was coming for Gina's kids? What are you talking about? I would never say that. She was about to get arrested with her kids. It would have gone to Child Protective Services. Never said it. God strike me dead. That's when I know I didn't say something, okay? So stop stirring shit up, Jen. Jesus Christ.
I don't understand where that would come from.
I don't remember Shannon saying that.
Gina was about ready to get arrested.
And Shannon helped Gina.
He called the DA at 10 a.m.
But if she did say it, don't be standing next to me when God strikes you dead.
She even said how your mom went to her. I don't know this shit.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Shannon is super sideways about not saying it, which tells me you totally know you said it.
Okay, so you're telling me Jen just plucked this story out of the air? Yeah, I don't think so. Good try, Shannon.
I don't recall saying it.
Why don't you just own up? You said it.
Shannon Bedore's unhinged tour continues. Oh my God, that was fun.
Ah, that was fun.
Is that an episode title name?
Unhinged tour. I love that.
Yes.
Guys, okay, should we give them a little bit? Should we break the fourth wall with our listeners?
Yeah, should we BTS it?
Okay, so breaking the fourth wall with our listeners. I feel like some weeks we have really great episode titles, and then other weeks it's like pulling teeth to think of something creative.
Sometimes it's so hard.
Lately, I just haven't really been able to think of anything good going on. And like the best idea I had this morning was like peaches, wreaths, and pumpkin something. I like trying to make it rhyme. I'm trying to do the Mo thing. I can't think of anything. And that is perfect.
I make them rhyme. And sometimes it's gold and sometimes not that great. Listen, I liked Shashuka Shade from a few weeks ago. That was a good one.
I think Shannon Bedore's Unhinged Tour is a great episode title.
I want it on a shirt.
I want it on a shirt. I don't know. It just came to me.
Should we start merch?
Literally. Yeah. That came to me as I was speaking, but her Unhinged Tour has continued. We get her sit down, a little bit of filler before this, but her and Tamara kind of sit down and talk about her relationship with John. And the way that Shannon was like, my relationship is none of Heather Dubrow, Gina Kirshenhiger, or Emily Simpson's business. And then cut to Tamara making it her business, the confessional. I'm like, you didn't mention Tamara Judge there though. And she's the one 2 seconds later making it her business. It is just like the way that Shannon is not giving Tamara any accountability, much like Teddy Mellencamp Arahe accountability, she ain't getting none. Like, who made an appearance in this episode over the phone?
FaceTime or the phone. Yeah. I can't deal with Shannon anymore, even though I love Shannon. Like, I love her for TV, but she's one of the most annoying characters ever. She's just all over the place. She's such a hypocrite when it comes to like talking about other people and then going on to her relationship. Her talk with Tamara about her and John, first of all, she was like, the three problems are like sex, money, and something else. But then as soon as she talks to Tamara, she's like, oh no, sex isn't the problem. I'm like, girl, everything's the problem.
I know you guys are not fucking. Like, literally, I know you're all ain't fucking. I like the whole her not giving Tamara any blame for what's going on. And then we have the sit down with her and Heather where Heather's like, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't, like, once again, none of this was started by me. It was all started by Tamara when she rejoined the group, aka joined the show again. And there's video footage, roll footage, as Lisa Barlow said, where Tamara is bringing it up any instance that she can. Her first time meeting up with Heather and Gina, bringing it up. The first time meeting Jennifer and the girls, bringing it up. And it's like, oh, you're not getting the late night phone calls of Shannon? And when Heather was like, there is no vault, Shannon. Like, you give everyone the code. There is no vault. You tell everyone everything about your relationship. And then Shannon, what did she say when she was like, did you practice that in the mirror?
Maybe she's like, put it on the IMDb.
Ice cream. That was funny. That was honestly funny.
I do think Heather was being genuine in the moment, though. Like, I do think that Heather's really hurt that she might have rubbed Shannon this way when she did not mean to. It was not her intent. And it's just,
she already knows that Shannon is fragile as fuck. So she feels bad that the relationship's fragile, like that it could be her fault that if it ends. And I feel like the Heather Dubrow takedown that's continuing is just making me love Heather so much more. Like, I'm obsessed with them. When they brought up the fake paparazzi photos and she was like, where there's smoke, there's fire. Guess what? There's also fucking arsenal. Like, don't try me, bitch. Like, if you're saying it, that means you think it's true and it's ridiculous. And she's like, of course I'm not telling these women about the selling of my house. Like, none of them are happy for me. They're all attacking me any chance they get. And we're moving ahead, but we get a preview for next week where now Emily is versus Heather and, like, bringing up shit again. And it's like, Heather is just, this Heather Dubrow we would have never seen 6 years ago when she left the show, or 7 or 8, whenever, however long it was. Like, she's a whole new bitch, and I'm obsessed with her. She's mothering all over this fucking cast.
And I really need her to stay, even though I have a feeling that she might be gone next season, because I'm loving how, like, firm in her ground she is. And she just makes logical sense when she's talking in an argument. And I love to see her, like, backhand people with her, like, wit. Like, I'm like, I need this on my screen. Please buy a home in Orange County.
I know, it's like, we'll, like, buy something in Orange County, some kind of property. I think that she just needs a big ally. I've said this on the podcast before. Get fucking Heather Omosa. Gretchen or Heather from Selling Sunset. I think that she'd be great on the show. She is the bone collector of Selling Sunset, allegedly not asked back for next season of Selling Sunset, which I think is ridiculously absurd. But she has so many connections. She helps sell the Heather Omosa, or what's her name? The one that was Mary Tart.
They're not letting her come back?
No, she's not back. And she was the literal bone collector of last season of Selling Sunset. She was the mess. She sold Heather's penthouse. And Heather was on Selling Sunset at Heather's baby shower.
And so was Gretchen.
Speaking of Real Houses of Orange County, Selling the OC is coming back, I think, this weekend. And I never watched.
Listen, the thing about them tables,
they turn. I've never watched Selling the OC. I've been wanting to, so I think I'm.
Oh, it's great.
I think I'm going to do it, and then we'll do a Patreon.
All I'm saying is, Selling OC, like, they'll never hit numbers like Josh Altman just did with selling the third highest property in Orange County with Heather Dubrow's $55 million house. I'm like, this is real estate, honey. I wonder if we're going to see that on Million Dollar Listing this season at all.
I mean, that scene was funny, how they walked back out and then walked back in and was like, I mean, he said, what did Terry say? $55 million isn't fuck you money. It's fuck everyone you've ever known money. And I was
I thought they had said 65. So did they settle for 55?
He said that she, on New Year, she manifested 60. And then she was like, I was 5 off. Like,
yeah.
Okay. But we did it.
That's a lot of money. Like, I guess
they kept on saying, let's buy the G6. Is that what they were saying? Like, we're getting a G6.
They're saying they're going to buy it for the son. Because he came out and he was like, G6.
I don't really have a good concept of money. And once you hit the $1 million mark, it all just feels the same level of rich to me. Like, $1 million versus $2 million versus, but like, putting that into perspective, $55 million. Like, some of these ladies are probably just worth $1 or $2 million, right?
Not even. Like, Gina ain't.
Gina's worth $5 and a fucking Big Mac, bitch.
Gina's worth minimum wage at Chili's.
Gina's collected. She's in tip pool, okay?
But like, yeah, like, help put it into perspective for me if you guys know more than I do. What is, like, a Kyle Richards worth?
Like, hundreds of millions.
So her and Heather Dubrow are probably up there with each other.
Yeah.
Let me see if Heather, I can, like, Google real quick.
Yeah, Heather and Mauricio are worth at least $100 million. Like, Lisa Vanderpump worth at least $100 million.
Because, like, $55 million is a lot of money, but if the house was worth that much and if they want to get an equally nice house next, they're going to probably spend all of that money on their next house, right? Like, you don't really get to.
But I don't think they are, because they're like, one, they bought the lot at not that much, and all work in the house, they probably put in $20 million. $30 million in sales is insane. And the money that they've made outside of that.
And so they're downsizing. So, like, their kids are all moving out. I don't think they'd spend that much in a place.
They're not
going to
buy this big McMansion again.
Erica Jane's net worth is $5 million. Heather Dubrow's net worth is $70
million. And Kyle Richards says $100 million in the range.
Yeah.
Kathy Hilton net worth.
The entire podcast is us.
$350 million.
is us just Googling people's net worth. Like, yeah, Google mine. What does mine say?
Person.
$5. Mine says
negative 20,000.
Yeah, I got that.
Kirshenheider has a net worth of 1 million. Hey.
That's very nice.
Let's see. Let me think of who's someone like, let's do like Meredith Marks net worth.
Oh, that's a good one.
You know, it was a good one, like Camille Grammer. Because remember, she got $50 million in the divorce from fucking, what's his face? Frasier.
Mm-hmm. Lisa Barlow net worth.
What was Meredith's?
What, like $1 million, it said. Lisa Barlow's is $5 million. Okay, hold on. Heather Gay.
You bitch.
It's like negative.
This is the most Rita spoken on this podcast.
1.7 million.
He's obsessed.
Look up, wait, look up Jenna Lyons.
Oh, yeah.
Jenna Lyons net worth. Around 5 million.
It's just crazy that like Heather Dubrow is 70
Raquel
million.
Levis net worth.
Raquel Levis, $4.
She goes by Rachel now.
It's $500,000.
Well, yeah, that's what Bethany probably just paid her for that podcast where she got all that shit. Let's get into the Taylor's pumpkin making fucking event where basically all hell broke loose because of the CPS comment that so Miss Jennifer really doing the work, messy boots the house down.
Let's back it up though, because let's talk about how Taylor's trying so hard to have a seat at this table, both figuratively and literally at the table. But
also, did y'all notice that Taylor only has one confessional look?
I mean,
well, she's a friend of.
Friend of.
I know, but still.
And then also, the scene in the beginning of her, like, I was so confused when the FaceTime kept changing faces. I was like, what's happening? And it's
did
just
they also,
saying
like,
the
mention what she was inviting them to?
Yeah, when she was inviting everybody, she's like on FaceTime.
Yeah, but I feel like I didn't hear what it was. It was just her on FaceTime with everyone. And I'm like,
it was like a fall. She wanted like a fall festival celebrating fall. Which essentially they just went to a pumpkin patch and had somebody like navigate them through pumpkin carving. None of them wanted to be there. You could tell none of them were trying. The pumpkin carving could have just not done it. It would have been fine.
Them in their Christian girl autumn fits, like all of them showing up. I'm like, what year is it? 2012? Like none of them were giving looks. They literally all look like that Christian girl autumn meme. They were all wearing like
they were 5 feet away from the gravel parking lot.
Adam Bador and showed up
in a blazer.
In a tight blazer, which she always does.
There, like cutting a pumpkin.
Heather looked cute. I really liked Heather's like long skirt and little like white shirt detail, but it was very Christian girl autumn for sure.
It was so Christian girl autumn.
So then we get, as soon as Gina arrives to the fucking pumpkin patch, she is just breaking off to everybody. Does Shannon say something about CPS? Hey, does Shannon say something about CPS? Y'all hear about CPS? Like, it was anyone who wouldn't listen. CPS? Like, bitch, we get it.
So give me a little background, because I haven't been watching. So Gina had a messy era.
No, oh, you mean...
no, I haven't been watching OC until now.
Oh, like, I thought you meant, like,
you
meant
you haven't been watching this
No. So, like, give me some background. So Gina, when Gina joined OC, she was,
like
hot
so
mess.
Recap the episode for me, because I didn't watch.
So, when Gina joined Orange County, she was in a relationship, or maybe on the verge of, like, getting divorced with the guy.
She was working through her marriage, who's problematic, but woo!
They got a divorce, and when they ended their divorce, it was very messy, like abuse allegations, like she was drinking all the time because she was going through like obviously so much with a divorce and then like maybe an abusive husband. All this got caught drunk driving, and then her life kind of spiraled out from that. She was trying to meet with an attorney to like maybe get it expunged or like figure out like what her plan was. And Shannon kind of took her under her wing and like introduced her to an attorney, like made sure like she was on the straight and narrow and all good. And then one day something happened. She was supposed to be in court one morning, and then maybe the kids were late, and she was like almost 2 hours late and called Shannon, and Shannon was able to like get in for Gina and just be like, hey, Gina's coming, whatever. She was like Gina's lifesaver that day. And if Gina wouldn't have called Shannon, there's a fact that Gina could have like been way more in trouble with the law because she was missing a court date. But
yeah, so Shannon's trying to like spin this narrative that Gina was about to be arrested on the spot and her kids were going to be taken.
And her kids are going to go to CPS because he drunk drove. Like, no, it wasn't that. It was, if anything, it would have been like she would have had more than a DUI in her record. Like, it would have been like missing a court, like stupid stuff.
Okay. So this is all very, and it sounds like Shannon's just never let her forget it.
It happened, I think, 3 seasons ago.
Yeah, it happened a long time ago, honestly. And, like, Shannon's comment was completely absurd. The fact that Jennifer's really, like, working, I loved that. And then we have, like, at the table, Shannon going the fuck off about, like, I didn't say that!
Well, it's just so
funny.
You're
lying!
I think it was Heather Dubrow that was like, she's not gonna, Jennifer's not gonna just say CPS out of nowhere. Like, she had to get that from someone. She didn't just make that up.
Yeah.
And then Tamra being like, I did not hear that. Like, I didn't hear a thing. Not a thing about CPS. Like, you were sitting right there. Yes, you did.
And you were whispering into Jen's ear, like, yeah, she got in trouble with the DUI. Like, she was very involved in that conversation.
And then Jennifer saying, like, how would I know all these facts then if you didn't talk about it and you didn't say the CPS thing?
She's like, Google.
She's like, well, if you Google it.
Honestly, that was so camp. I was really living for it. And like, then the Travis and the small penis conversation coming up. And Tamra's like, well, you did say that he had a small dick. Cut to her with Vicky being like, I got the smallest penis in town. Like... Pan of the door.
I think with the small dick comment, I was like, how did this come up? I'm assuming that when Gina first started dating him, she said something along the lines of, oh, he's such a great person. We're getting along really well, but maybe like he doesn't have the biggest dick. And now it's like.
It's clearly coming around. Shannon also with this health scare where she's like, my limbs are inflamed with stress. And then as soon as they sit down for the dinner, she's like, I have to go. Yeah. Taylor, thank you so much. I have to go. That food was untouched. The camera kept panning to her full plate, just untouched, and being like, Taylor's like, I'm kind of scared about her health issues. And Tamara's like, it's just anxiety. And then Tamra, without missing a beat, turns around. She's like, Heather, I have something to say. And Heather's like, oh, God, is it bad? Like, just fucking leave it alone, dude. I'm done. Like, I just got my ass reamed by Shannon Bador. That's when the paparazzi photos thing.
But the paparazzi photos, come on, they were staged.
Stage as hell. I remember the day they came out. It was when the marital trouble questions were happening. It's like, girl, stage the house. It's like it was giving Heidi Montag and Spencer Pratt back in the day in the hills.
Like, when has paparazzi ever paid for a ticket to go to Disney just to get, like, did Heather Dubrow say, hey, I got your pass for the day. I bought you a pass. Can you take a photo of me and my husband?
It's a VIP pass. You can jump the lines, just take our pictures, make us look loving. We just sold our house. Like I said earlier, it's just further like proving the like Heather takedown narrative. And we see that with next week's episode where they're jumping right into Heather's party and then into Mexico where they really just get in on her. And it's like, y'all need to like lay it down. Cause if she leaves, you got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You truly have nothing. And you like, don't do it. Just don't fucking do it. Anything else on OCD, y'all?
No, just enjoying it. Emily having an extra large head for the motorcycle helmet is quite funny.
It tracks. Let's get into the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Ralph has moved out of the bedroom and we're not even sharing the same space. So very disconnected.
One thing that I've learned about the two of you is you absolutely love one another. What's unfortunate though, is at this point, you're just really disconnected.
Yeah, me moving out of the bedroom is me actually getting to a place where I'm comfortable.
How does that feel?
Alone. I think he's happy.
Liberating.
Him moving out of the room,
yeah.
He never, ever discussed with me. So it seems irresponsible to me to just make such a big change because even the kids have noticed, like, why is Dad sleeping in the other room?
That's a lie.
No, actually, that happened. JoJo texted me. I don't have to lie. You want to use that narrative, and that's not actually the truth.
But Drew.
So JoJo did. He said, I think Dad is sleeping in the guest room for some reason. He said, Makai and I are both mad because he wouldn't let them sleep with him. And I said, oh, it's all good. Daddy's sleeping in there because I'm getting home so late and he has work in the morning. And I usually wake him up. Everything will be back to normal after I wrap this movie, baby. So I'm not lying.
It's not a concern. You just created that. The reality of it is all about how you say it. Drew said it was like a thing like, hey, I don't know what Ralph is. I don't know what he's doing. Dad is doing.
I said it's all good. Daddy's sleeping in there because I'm getting home so late.
There's somebody else.
Wait, Dr. Ken, hold on a second. It's about me making certain changes that make me feel good because I have that right too. And I'm getting to a place to where, you know, where I can feel more liberated, more free, and be able to smell the roses and the fruits of my labor. I have not really taken advantage of that.
Season finale of Atlanta, we talked all about the reboot and all that casting rumors, so we won't get into any of that now. But, I mean, the most exciting part of this episode to me was the last, like, 15 minutes. Yeah, mm-hmm. Where we got Sanya's miscarriage storyline, and then we got Drew's lesbian drama, where I've never seen a woman who's eaten pussy more on camera. Like, her face said, I am face deep up in that Gucci. We had Courtney's hot mic moment, which was wild.
I just thought it was kind of crazy that producers had Ralph come in and do a confessional to do his side of the story of, like, the divorce. And I'm like, why are we giving this man a platform? Like,
him calling his lawyer and being like, can I talk about it? And they're like, no. And he's like, I can't talk about it.
Oh, he irks me. Like, every bone in my body. I believe you guys posted a clip on your Instagram and TikTok of the therapy session that they had in the beginning of the episode, and how he joked that, like, everybody gets divorced, or, like, we can sleep in separate rooms. And, like, it was just Drew and the therapist the entire time, like, looking at each other, like, what the fuck is happening? Like, is this man for real? The audacity of him. I feel like he wanted Drew to break up with him the entire time.
Yeah. I mean, okay, the line of the episode to me, aside from Courtney's thing, where did she say when she was like, she wanted her to adopt her kid so she can go be in her gay relationship and have him take care of her kid while she's away. But the line of the episode was when Marlo was like, they were both racing to the to the divorce. It was like,
she's like,
it was like them playing Mario Kart. Drew had a banana peel.
Yeah, she's like, I was dead. Drew threw a banana peel.
She's a child. Apparently, she got there 61 minutes before him, talking to Sheree. And Sheree gave us another "Oh my God" moment.
I've seen a lot of shitty husbands on Housewives, and I would probably argue most of them have been on the franchise of Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Yeah,
but I don't think in my tenure have I seen someone truly as awful as Ralph. I think Ralph might be, and please correct me if you think I'm wrong, I think Ralph might be the worst house husband of all husbands.
Like, all franchises?
Maybe I'm being dramatic.
I was going to say Michael Darby exists.
Also,
but Ashley and him are, like, cool. Like, she's fine with it, you know? He's awful, Ashley's like...
he was Ashley's out there, like, doing sexual assault, so, like... I don't know.
And also, Drew, Don.
Okay, we'll say problematic.
Don.
Did Michael Darby sexual assault someone?
Yeah, one of the producers.
Yeah, oh, that's it was right. Like the biggest storyline of one of the seasons. Reed, have you watched Bravo?
No, I'm a guest. So Ralph has to be up there as one of the worst.
He's up there.
He's a guy.
I guess Bob, Sheree's Bob, was abusive. So
yeah, and he's not faking cancer.
Right.
There's also that.
Ralph is so toxic. He's so toxic.
I think what makes Ralph worse than the other husbands is we all saw the other husbands as evil right away. And obviously, like, the first episode, I believe we had with Drew and Ralph, like, he was gone in Tampa. So we kind of saw it. But he tries to portray this character like he is a doting husband. He is, like, loving of Drew. He likes all of her friends. He's showing up to her events for her.
Kid.
Exactly. So he has this front that, like, makes you, like, kind of like...
He was going to release a book on step-parenting.
Yeah, like you put your guard down a little bit because you're like, oh, wait, maybe he has some bad traits. Maybe he's a good guy, but... And then you see all of it. So he tries to trick you a little bit, which makes it 10 times worse.
Yeah, he's, like, the worst type of narcissist. The ones that, like, really just, like, make you... Like, love bombing almost. Like, that.
Well, I remember, like, in season 14 when Sanya was like, I don't know if I want to have another kid. And my husband's kind of, like, making me feel pressured. And Drew was like, well, for him, you need to do it. Like, she's truly, like, Stockholm Syndrome over here. Like,
yep.
Ralph has her thinking... Like, Ralph has her completely in beta bitch mode. And, like, I'm so glad that she's, like...
And then she got a whiff of some pussy, some punani, and she was like, now wait a goddamn minute here. Now wait a minute.
I really hope that the rumors are true that maybe she's a lesbian or maybe she's bisexual, because I think she needs a woman to like be in a relationship, be stable. Exactly.
Honestly, when she was talking about like the rumors and how they hit all the blogs about the woman, she's never looked happier in her life. That there was a look of glee and gleam in her face, and she was truly ecstatic. And good coochie will do that to you.
I feel like lesbians in general are like more tender and loving and caring to one another, because they like, as a woman to woman, they kind of know what the woman needs. Like Ralph gives Drew no TLC. Like she wants this sensual man, and he's so douchey. She needs
like,
a
he
woman.
He just looks like he goes to like Pound Town and then is like, oh, I'm done. And a woman really will take care of her, you know?
She really get Pound Town. Okay. We posted to our socials earlier this week, like a video of their therapy session and Ralph just being a complete douche. And I said that Ralph might be the worst husband in history. And someone commented on our TikTok and they were like, Ralph is so sexy, .. He can do whatever he wants. And I was dying. I was like, is it Drew's burner account?
It might be my burner account, because that man is fine. That's all I got to say.
I mean, they're not wrong. I know I would be okay with him because, he a king. But I'm just kidding. No, I can't.
it's like, what's that tax sound that's going around where like, that's a black king.
That's a black king right there.
That's a black king right there. Also, when they were talking about the whole like Courtney calling her bitch, and he's like, everyone's called you a bitch at school. Like, what do you mean? Like, Candy's called you a bitch. Molly's called you a bitch. I'm not doing anything about it. She was like, you're the worst.
The fact that who was it in that scene with Drew that was like, you could have called her a banana if it hurt her feelings. I was like, yes, girl. Say it.
Also, well, I said this in the group chat. Like, I like, even if we're having all these reboot rumors, it might not be a thing, but who knows? I feel like she's always been around. I liked Tamia, and seeing her at the final event and, like, you know, being the MC of the event, I was like, and she looked good. Well, I always like me some Tamia around. She's so hot.
I wish that I watched Married to Med, because I feel like I would catch cameos better. Like, I didn't realize the fertility doctor. I mean, you did say this a week or two ago on the pod, Maddie, but
that's
like,
Dr. Jackie.
Yeah, that's like
Dr. Jackie's always been on Atlanta too, though. She like delivered both of Candy's babies.
Okay. And yeah, we're getting lots of crossover cameos this week between OC having $1 million real estate agents on and Atlanta having Married to Med doctors on. It's kind of,
I think those are the big two. Like, there's always in New York too, the real estate agents are always on Roni. Like popping.
Yeah, and like Roni last week at Aaron's anniversary party, we got like a very fast glimpse of Meredith Marks.
And Brooks. That's a white king right there.
Oh my God. No.
Okay, a prince at best, because he is not of age.
No, truly. He's of age. Don't make me sound
not of
perverse.
Age to be a king, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, a prince, yeah, a jester. I will say, I was saying that moment behind the scenes where we saw that Sheree and Drew were both filming their confessionals in the same place at the same time, and Sheree kind of came out of hers and went to talk to Drew.
And then
talked about the death of her father. Oh, yeah.
Drop that bomb. Like, what the hell? What do you mean your dad died 2 days ago?
Yeah, that's wild. And I mean, it was like interesting to see that behind the scenes where it was like, oh, wow. Like, they really, like, you know, they're filming, but not filming the show. So we got a moment of them filming the show during confessionals.
Yeah.
Because confessionals are kind of post-production things. So since all of this Drew drama came out post-production, we got a post-production confessional moment, because I don't know if we've ever seen that before.
No, it was a nice little breaking of the wall. And like we were saying during That's My Opinion, you know, as much as I can't stand Drew, it is a little bit sad to think that like that's it for her. Like, we very well may not see Drew again.
I hope that she is really happy in her lesbian relationship. And I have no doubt in my mind that her and that woman will end up on WeTV on Married Boot Camp. Any moment in a few seasons
on Zeus Network.
I wonder,
she's probably gonna join like Baddies East with Natalie Nunn.
I was gonna say, I wonder if we'll get any
bitches still can't chin check me.
Natalie Nunn and Drew Sidora on the same. Also, Drew's fucking movie is on Peacock.
Also, yes. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this gem of a reality show, but Natalie Nunn and Kim Richards were on the same season with Heidi Montag of a show, and Kim Richards almost beat the living shit out of Natalie Nunn. She said, "Mama, I got the hands. I don't care how old I am. I
what show?
It was like Family Boot Camp. It was like on WeTV. It was
you and your weird shows.
I didn't watch it, but there's like famous clips of it. It was Heidi Montag, Kim Richards, and maybe like Aubrey O'Day and Natalie Nunn. Guys, I love a reality TV scramble.
You do. I was going to say, before you guys both cut me off multiple times and I kept trying to say it, I think that we will get some more clarity on Drew and what's going on in the reunion. I'm hoping. I'm also hoping that Candy is not on Drew's side of it, like agreeing to him being a gaslighter. I'm like, Candy, you better lower your voice, girl, or I'm going to kick you off the show myself.
Now, Miss Candy, I think that it's going to be interesting because we saw Courtney kind of give her two cents. Obviously, she chose Ralph's side, but a lot of the women were, Candy being one of them, Candy and Manietta really making the rumors of Drew's lesbian affair true. They were like, yeah, the streets are talking, and she met her on the movie set, and things really got popping there.
And I have to say something, and I felt this way about the Kyle and the Morgan Wade thing. If it is true, don't we feel kind of bad that we're outing someone's sexuality, that we're not letting them come to it?
But with Kyle and Morgan Wade, like, they're playing so much into it. And we know that Kyle Richards loves press, so it's kind of a different story.
Kyle is literally making out with this woman in a music video. Like, you've taken away your, like, privacy.
Okay, maybe Kyle, but Drew, do we feel bad about? She was so against saying that she kissed a girl because of maybe her religion upbringing. And now we're just like, oh, she's a lesbian, and we're all like, okay with it. I don't know.
I think you're probably right. But
much like Ralph, but we really I don't have a moral compass, so I just hate it.
I hate when housewives lie on camera, and then
bravo, fucking bravo,
and then they're doing it at Bolo night, no problem. So I don't know.
I think Atlanta is the one too, where a lot of the women try to like hide their sexuality, and like Candy says, all y'all are freaks. So it's like wild. I'm excited for the reunion. I think it'll be an interesting way to see if we really clean up some of these storylines so they can clean house next season. That's all I got, y'all.
That's all she wrote.
You guys good? That's all she wrote. Thank you guys so much for listening. The Patreon is linked below. We just did a Big Brother episode. We have a few more lined up. We're going to do another Below Deck, another Big Brother. We got some stuff in the works, y'all. I'm still watching Roni with my boyfriend. Eventually, we'll get there. He told me that we watch too much reality TV, so we are now watching Heartstopper on Netflix. I hate it. Anyways, thank you so much for listening. You know where to find us, about_Bravo, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye.